What's up, guys? Hello, hello. How are you, Dr. Tom?
Hello,
Miss Eden.
Thank you,
Mrs. Hi. Eden. What's up?
Depends on the day.
I'm Daniel. I'm here as usual with my friend Tom and Eden, and we're just three Israelis that talk about shit that matters. What's up, guys? Hello, welcome.
Good to be here again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yes,
we're welcoming back our friend Tom.
Yes, hello.
From a long trip.
Long trip. Yeah.
Where UK? To?
What's up?
Denmark. Was traveling with Tanya, my wife. It was great. Had a great time.
We miss you, Tanya.
Yeah, needed some relaxed time after school. And now I'm officially a dentist.
Woohoo! Congrats.
I don't know if I should be scared or happy.
Be scared.
I trust you with my teeth.
Hashtag not my dentist. All right. So you had like what, tests or like the final exam?
Yeah, I had all the exams, passed everything. I got my license. Just have to go to some insurance company and get my insurance, and then I can start working.
Isn't it crazy? Like, I'm not saying you obviously studied for a long time, but when I talk to people who are going to be regular doctors, it's always like, oh, so you're done with school? Yeah, but now I have to do this and that. Oh,
for 9 more years,
and
right?
And then a year passes, and then so you're a doctor now? Oh, not yet. I got my robe, but I still need to get my this and that. And I'm like, okay. And then another year passes, and so now you're a doctor? Oh, no. I mean, I'm sort of a doctor, but isn't that... For you, it's like, okay, you finished school, you get an exam license, go, boom.
It's like you're official. You start up at 20, you're going to be a doctor when you're 50 or something. Like, until you finish.
It's different, right? There is a difference,
right? That's
insane. Right? Med school, it's 7 years in Israel. So they study for 6 years, and then they have 1 year of stage, internship. And in dentistry, that last year is just spread across the three last years of our regular studies. So we are working more and more and more in the
clinic.
But
don't doctors have internship and then they still have and then they're just doctors and then they need to do something else to become like specific doctors for something?
Yeah, so they become specialized doctors. I can also do that, but I don't have to do that.
Okay.
But they also don't have to do that.
Oh, really?
They don't have to, but a lot of them do, because today, if you're not specialized in something, then it's like, well,
why
do you exist? I might.
Until
let me enjoy
robots
myself.
Are going to replace all the doctors. So you have time.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Robots. So, Eden, what's up? How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Well, I've been busy. I think maybe this episode we're going to talk a lot about things that I've been busy around. As you guys know, or maybe heard of, and maybe our listeners as well, a wave of anti-Semitic acts had occurred all over, not only Europe, but now also in the States, in New York. So we all three of us thought it would be a great opportunity to talk a little bit about things that's going on. Thoughts about before we literally dive into it? Like, why we wanted to talk about it would be actually...
I think we all had different triggers, right? But some things, like recent events, you mentioned, there were some attacks, like violence attacks against specifically Jews in New York or was it New Jersey, I think?
Right.
And some other places, it was sort of like concentrated the past few weeks. There was also a resolution against Israel in the ICC, and I'm not talking about the International Cricket Council.
There's also the Israeli Campus Coalition, ICC. So there's like so many ICC.
But when you search ICC in Google, you actually get the International Cricket Council.
Oh,
it's
really?
On your history
you
research, by the way.
Yeah. You like cricket?
I don't understand cricket
I think
at
that,
all. But what I was going to say is that there was the International Crime Court in Hague, a resolution to start investigating Israel, and I think that also that was the trigger for me, and I'm not saying it's an anti-Semitic decision, but that's my point, and we'll talk about that.
Right. Wait, you heard claims that it's an anti-Semitic?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that just a little bit of background about our talk today, because maybe that's interesting for whoever's listening to us who maybe is not Jewish or not Israeli or whatever, is that talking about anti-Semitism as Israelis and the connection between being an Israeli and thinking about, you know, anti-Semitism and what's happening in the world would be really interesting to look at it from our point of view, living here in Israel, which, mm-hmm. you know, it's like the land of the Jews, right? Anti-Semitism is not something that we feel or see on our daily basis.
Yeah, it doesn't like normally occur, and when it does, it's like across the border, so it doesn't really affect you. I personally noticed when I'm speaking to friends of mine who came to live in Israel from other places that are Jewish, that they are, we often argue about this. It feels to me like they are being too sensitive about it. And to them, it feels like I'm not paying enough attention.
Right.
You know, like I'm brushing it off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that Daniel and I talked about it before, about how as Israelis that we do have, you know, criticism about what's going on government wise, and criticism that we get outside. Sometimes people, you know, kind of raise the flag of anti-Semitism and not really listening to criticism that maybe is legit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a good point to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking about recent event of anti-Semitic acts, I'm just looking at this like disgusting list of things that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, for example, people sprayed graffiti on synagogues and stores owned by Jewish people, accusing them for the 9/11 terror attack. That happened yesterday. Also yesterday, graffiti and a swastika on Jewish stores. There was a terrible story that happened yesterday in Toronto, in Canada. A person who suffered from Alzheimer had on his scalp, he's an old guy, he's a senior citizen.
They drew on his head.
They drew on his scalp with a marker, swastika.
Yeah.
He's suffering from dementia, so he didn't really know how to explain what happened and where. So
dementia.
Dementia, right? So, and this goes like, only yesterday, like I read here about 9 things that happened. So things like that happen all the time, and it's a great opportunity to stop and say why why is it happening.
I honestly don't really know. I don't have the answer. I think there are, I mean, from what I read about and from what I looked into, there are certain populations that anti-Semitism is more in their, I don't want to say in their DNA, but it's more in their culture.
Let's like kind of flip the question, saying why do people hate us? Shoot, Daniel.
So we talked about it a bit before, but I think that there is a difference between hating Jews and being an anti-Semite.
Okay.
If you look at the different definitions of what anti-Semitism is, they don't usually define it as a part of what is being an anti-Semite. But I think that if you don't have a justified, and when I say justified, not necessarily justified in our eyes, but like a reason that makes sense, then it's not anti-Semitism.
Because it's accusing and attacking people in a purpose that is legit.
Yeah.
But not from who they are and what they,
yeah,
where they
so,
come from.
So you know that there is the classic like prejudice against Jews that they, I don't know, control the global economy and stuff like that. And that's obviously nonsense.
Wait, we don't?
Why?
Why? Because it's something that's based... It's something that's based... Like, do you know where this story comes from? It's like, back... someone told me, and now I can remember, but before, like, in Middle Ages time, a lot of Jews did actually dealt with money and loans and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know that.
Maybe you told me that.
There were some laws forbidding Jews from working in certain professions.
Mm.
A money lender was not one of them. So a lot of Jews were lending money. Also, a lot of Jews worked in banks or stuff like that when it, you know, not Middle Ages, but let's say around Renaissance or a bit after that. If you know The Merchant of Venice, which
mm-hmm.
I really like that play. I think it's a great
mm-hmm.
play.
So what I'm saying is I mean, it could make sense. Like, I mean, it makes sense to me that that being an anti-Semite has to somehow be connected to a reason that is, I don't know,
triggering people.
Extremely unlogical, you know, right. What I mean, like, if, like, I'm not saying that hating someone is logical, I'm trying to say that anti-Semite has to be based on some sort of prejudice or ignorance, or just hating Jews because either you don't have a reason, or because reasons that are not real, or, right. or doesn't say, really exist.
All right, so let's say that if I'm trying to summarize what you said, if you hear, for example, a Palestinian imam in Gaza going on a rant in his mosque about how the Jews control the world economy and how the Zionists are plotting to kill all the Palestinians or something like that, that's, you're not saying it's justified, but you're saying it's easier to understand.
Or maybe it's not anti-Semitic purely because there's like a reason, as he feels that the Jews is doing wrong with him.
So that's a gray area, right? Because yeah, he has a reason because he feels like he's like the Jews are doing wrong to him or his people. But saying that Jews control the world economy or are plotting, as the Jewish people are plotting to kill Palestinian, is in itself an anti-Semite. It's not logical. It's not something that you could say that the Israeli government, or he could say, not me, but he could say that the Israeli government kills Palestinian on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that could, like, I don't know, that could, he could use that to gather followers and you know, yeah. incite the crowd, right? Yeah. But that's not anti-Semitism. If he says the Jews control the world economy, yeah, he might have a reason to say that, but it's obviously nonsense.
Yeah, I think that that's before when we talked, I kind of disagreed with you, but now when you say it that way, I think it makes a lot more sense to me. I for me, anti-Semitism is okay. It's a very broad brush painting here, but it's bias against Jews, basically. I do understand your point of view, saying like, listen, obviously, you know, if someone just got really screwed over by a Jewish person and he doesn't like that specific person and he's maybe kind of generalizing in the moment or something like that, or someone that has a really, you know, specific issue dealing with a Jewish group or person, let's say the state of Israel for that matter, mm-hmm. I can understand where... I would disagree with them, but I can understand where they're coming from. That's basically what you're saying, right?
It is what I'm saying, and I want to add like a side note that generalizing
is
could,
wrong.
Could also be like a sign of anti-Semitism. Because if I'm Jewish and I stole from you, and now you hate me, and you say all Jews are thieves, then it's also some sort of like. It's also some sort of anti-Semitism, right?
Yeah,
because you're basically generalizing, because one guy generalizing an entire people, it's like saying, I don't know, all black people are whatever, you know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
It's obviously racism.
Yeah.
So I open up an article, talks about like exactly the question I asked you about why, you know, people hate Jews. And there are so many articles, I just randomly chose one. And it actually talks about a really interesting point that goes way back than even Renaissance or Middle Ages time and talk like that, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Talks about how, you know, during history, there is something very, very constant, like, you know, like something that the keeps a nation
consistent,
right, yeah. thanks. That consistent between all religions, cultures, with an issue with the Jewish people, and the question is why. And this article specifically talks about the two words of the chosen people and how it could trigger a lot of people as a Jewish people declaring themselves as a chosen people by God, by anything else. And then
it triggers me even.
I know. I could
who
definitely
gave you the
really
right?
Who gave you the right? And especially in a world that talks about equality and equal rights and equal stuff. Values, to have someone who is calling themselves or a chosen people is something that triggers a lot of people, and that's been for centuries, the word chosen people.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
So this article like talks about two points of view. It talks about the Jewish point of view about the connection with God and a religion that it's been, you know, kind of closed religion, a special relationship with God, having the book of God and so on. But we never talk about the other side. How do they feel as we're saying, oh, we're chosen, you're not. And and so on. So there's like a whole theory about, are we the chosen people? What does it mean to be chosen? Do we want to be chosen? And so on. But that's just like a thought to kind of chew on later if we have time.
Yeah. Let's talk about stuff that are more formal, let's say. How do you want to give us like the definition, like the legal definition of anti-Semitism?
Okay. So something really interesting happened this month. Okay, there is an organization called IHRA, which is, give me 1 second,
International Holocaust Remembrance Association.
Association? Wait, I might have it. Awareness Act.
Awareness.
Okay.
Okay, so the IHRA organization is an international organization. It deals with the remembrance of the Holocaust through many years. It had a different name, they wanted to change it, never mind. But they gave like an official kind of a statement of what, or definition of what anti-Semitism is, which I'm going to read in a second. But the interesting part is that a few countries, and maybe the most interesting one, which is the United States and the president, decided to acknowledge it as an executive order of what is definition of anti-Semitism and how to find it and how to use it in the law system as well. Mm-hmm. Now, I must say something really interesting about this. That's not new, okay? A lot of countries and governments wanted to apply it or decided to do it, so as the states, but it's been on hold for a long, long time in different periods of a president's credentials and so on, that it wasn't the main focus, and President Trump decided to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read out maybe the definition few examples of what it means, and then we can talk about how complex it is to define anti-Semitism and what complexity would it bring for the Jews in the United States and for non-Jews in the United States and so on. So the definition is:
anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institution and religious facilities.
That's
just stupid. Honestly, I'm sorry, but this is dumb.
No, it's not dumb.
It's a certain perception of Jews. I perceive Jews as tall, which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. It's not expressed, but it may be, so...
No, but I think...
See, it's so stupid. It's so generalized.
I would say this is a bit of a broad... it's a very...
It basically says that any perception you have towards Jews is anti-Semitism.
No,
And it could be expressed as hatred, but it doesn't have to be. It may be expressed as hatred.
I would say the word
hatred there.
Yeah, but it may be expressed.
No, so there are a few examples that are, you know, if you move the slide down a little bit.
Right, but the problem with this definition, and I would agree with Daniel here, is that this idea that the reasonable person could potentially interpret in the way, like, this is not,
it needs to be, he might perceive Jews,
I'll tell you,
as
what
something.
It needs to be more specific, and I'll tell you why, because people get really confused with this. I get asked this a ton, especially by my non-Jewish friends, but we also talk about it a lot, you know. I mean, we're three Israelis, we're all Jewish, like, we talk about this also, like, this is confusing even for us a little bit.
So exactly because of that, so they give an overall context to things in
the examples.
Do you mind?
Yeah, no problem. Where are we? Okay, so calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology or an extremist view of religion.
Okay, fair. Anti-Semitism, yes or no?
No, of course, but the problem... Okay, so there's two problems with this. One is that it's too specific now. Of course that killing Jews or harming Jews in the name of radical ideology is anti-Semitism.
Yes, but just because they are Jews, that's exactly the point.
Okay, but now you can ask something else. You can ask, okay, but let's say that I'm the same imam in Gaza that says that you need to kill Jews because they're occupying our land. Is that anti-Semitism? Extremist view of religion. He's an extremist. He has an extremist view of religion. He says that we should kill Jews because they are infidels.
The question is, if they
would
do that...
He also said you should kill Christians because they're infidels. Is he an anti-Semite?
Okay, I think that when you give the example of an imam in Gaza, it's super problematic, because the question is it a matter of a like rhetoric problem? Because if he says, let's kill all the Jews because they're harming us, and then they're, delivering people to do a terror attack in Israel, okay, there's something about a national like issues. In
okay,
it.
So let's say
but
an
if,
imam
if
in London.
If imam says that, and he sends someone to execute a terror organization in a synagogue in France, that's something else, right? Because they have no connection to what's going on.
So you would say an imam in France or in London or whatever is an anti-Semite, but one in Gaza isn't.
And even if it's not an imam. Take away the imam part, because we're doing this, you know, in our mind it's quite clear saying, okay, so yes, the Israeli or the Jews and the Arabs have this conflict, but we're talking now specifically about anti-Semitism worldwide, not only in Israel, and that's the or towards Israel, and that's a huge question to ask. Does anti-Semitism has a connection to what Israel is doing in Gaza?
All right, so here, and one of the examples they're giving is accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews.
See, this has the opposite problem, because it's obviously anti-Semitism. It's so clear that it is.
What is the difference between anti-Semitism and Islamophobia?
The one is towards directed towards Jews, and one is towards Muslims.
Exactly. So if we discriminate someone for being a Muslim, discriminating in our minds, okay, not letting him in, but thinking, oh, he is a Muslim, therefore he must be a terrorist, it's the same thing as saying, oh, he's a Jew, he must be
true.
1, 2, 3, 4, whatever
yeah,
you think
of
about
course.
Jews.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that's really interesting that they give a few examples here. By the way, we might add a link later on for people to read what we're reading out. But in general, it's such a complex issue, not only for people who are non-Jews to ask what is Judaism, what is anti-Semitism, what is Judaism is also a complex thing, but that's something else. I'm talking, okay, is it something that is connected to the conflict? It is not connected to the conflict. How historical does it go? Is it something specifically that goes on, for example, what goes on in New York right now with the African-American community and the Haredic, which is ultra-Orthodox Jews living in New York, kind of having their own conflict about property. And maybe, and that's a question, is it anti-Semitism acts if the African-Americans feel towards the Jewish community harsh feelings and doing actions about it? Is it, according to this definition, it's anti-Semitism? According to you, you're saying, well, they have a justified, you guys can't see, but I'm like doing with my fingers, justified... a reason, then it's not anti-Semitic acts?
That's my problem with this definition. If you look at the original definition, then, well, yeah, they have a perception of Jews. It may be expressed as hatred, it may not. But, yeah, so according to the first definition, the original definition, they are anti-Semite. But, or it is anti-Semitism. But if you look at the examples are... It just doesn't make sense. The examples are too specific. The examples are obviously examples of anti-Semitism.
Well,
accusing Jews as people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing. So they could say, the Jews are taking our homes, right? The African Americans in New York could say Jews are taking our homes,
right?
If they say it like that, then yeah, it's anti-Semitism.
The Jews,
but
all the Jews in the world are trying to take all African Americans' homes. That's anti-Semitism. But if they say, oh, this specific community.
No, it's anti-Semitism according to this,
right.
To this definition, which right. I don't agree with. It doesn't make sense to me.
So let's make it even harder.
No, they could say all the Jews in New York are trying to take all of the African Americans' houses. It might be exaggerated. It might be strange, like a strange statement. Probably another someone who would listen to that, most reasonable people would listen to that and say, I don't think you're right. It may be a specific issue with you or even with this few neighborhoods. I wouldn't generalize that far, but overall it doesn't sound like anti-Semitism to me. It sounds like something that makes sense.
So adding to our little issue with the definition, there's a lot of other issues with that definition that adds a lot of controversy about it, and not only for us in Israel, but also for Jewish Americans. I must say that even if it sounds that we are debating about this, it's a good thing that it's happening now in the States for people to acknowledge and adapt definition for anti-Semitism, meaning someone is taking action. So if anyone's listening and thinking we're not agreeing to a definition of anti-Semitism and how to apply it. That's not true. We're just asking questions and talking about it. And one of the things that is really interesting regarding even what's happening in Israel is that the order, this is a quote that I'm reading here, the order will embrace an argument that Jews are a people or a race with collective national origin in the Middle East, like Italian Americans or Polish Americans. Now, where I'm heading with this is that the definition Judaism as nationality will be promoting a classical bigot idea that American Jews are not American. If you're attaching a nationality to the idea of being Jews and we're against Jews as a nation, you're adding another nationality to citizens from another country. Therefore, they would say, wait, so you're not Americans?
Yeah,
you're
but
Jewish Americans?
But the problem, question. But this is one of the problems with Judaism, is that it's a religion, but it's also a nationality. You know, I think really this
identity
is,
crisis for everyone.
I really think we're going in a bit of a spiral here, because this debate can be endless. For me, anti-Semitism is a bias against Jews for the fact that they are Jews.
That makes a lot more sense than a perception.
That's what I would say. Because for Jews. So, for example, let's say, I don't know, let's take a case in France right now that's happening a lot, that there are a lot of attacks on Jews, specifically by immigrants from Middle Eastern or Muslim countries. And the reason they are doing this is because these Jews are Jews. They are not doing it because, oh, they just wanted to rob someone and that person happens to be Jewish. They're not doing it because, oh, they figured, you know, we should just do this for whatever reason. They are looking for Jewish people and they are attacking them. Now, why do they have anti-Semitism in their culture? Why is it so common? I don't really know. But this is the fact that it's happening, you know? So,
would you say this bias is... So let's talk about the bias, because I think it's interesting and I think it makes a lot more sense than talking about such a general definition
right.
of any perception that mm-hmm. may or may not be. do you think this bias is something that is... how would you say that? Can you say institutionalized? Would you say that countries or like governments, organizations such as, let's say, the UN, for example, stuff like that, would you say that these organizations have a bias against Jews? Because a lot of people in Israel would say yes.
You're taking this one?
We can both take it.
Yeah,
but I think it really depends, first of all, what organization you're talking about. So you brought up the UN. The UN is composed of a lot of states that have a very poor record of human rights and are not democratic. Now, to say that all these countries are also anti-Semitic, no. To say that some of these countries have anti-Semitic leaders, 100% yes. And I think regarding the UN, what most Israelis feel is that they are being judged wrongly and they are being looked... they are being scrutinized and they are being judged for things that other countries might also do but not get the same punishment.
So that's the bias.
Yeah, that is a bias. Now, to say that all of it is purely due to anti-Semitism, I think some of it is. I think some of it is also because a lot of countries, it's just so much easier to just throw stuff at Israel and then other countries just ignore what you do. Like in Syria, for example.
What would you say, like the UN ignores what happens in Syria?
I would say that for...
Or what happened?
I would say, okay, so for the... Because Turkey, Iran, and Russia, which are all pretty powerful countries, have interests in Syria, it's a lot easier for them to just agree to divert the attention towards Israel.
See, but the United States...
Not Israel or other things.
But the United States has an interest in Israel. It's also a pretty powerful country.
True.
Yeah, but the United States doesn't investigate us.
No, wait, you guys are confusing things.
No, but you're saying that the UN doesn't investigate things that happen in Syria because it has powerful allies, but Israel also has powerful allies.
No, that's not what I said.
So go again.
Okay. So what I said is that for countries like Mauritania, Iran, Syria, or what's left of Syria, China, Cuba, and Venezuela, it's a lot easier to bring up a resolution or a motion to investigate Israel or condemn Israel than to actually deal with what's happening in their own places.
I think
that's what I'm saying.
There's another claim that it's not about anti-Semitism or not. It's about the amount of focus that is drawn to Israel compared to other places in the world that, you know, wrong things are going on there. And I think every incident should be questionized on its own, because the question is, like, should we compare, shouldn't we compare? Who is dealing with it? What are they doing it? What's their interest in dealing with it? So absolutely, Israel is drawing a lot of attention to it. If it's because we're Jewish, I don't know. If it's because Palestinians are something that the world is interested in and the conflict is interesting, maybe. I'm not sure about that. But you talk about the UN, is it anti-Semitism? Question mark. I want to talk about other organizations that are kind of raising the flag of, I'm not anti-Semitism. We're not anti-Semitism. We are just criticized about Israel. And maybe we should question when the border is crossing between having a legit criticism or acts against Israel as a country, and when it happens to be, you know, has sense and characteristics of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, that is actually a very good question, because a lot of people asked me, you know, how can I tell when I'm talking to someone and he's criticizing Israel, and I feel that he's crossing the border towards anti-Semitism?
So let's talk about a specific example.
Okay.
Recently, which is what I talked about at the beginning, the International Cricket Council, the International Crime Court in Hague, in the Netherlands, they started investigating. So let's explain a bit what it does. It basically it can prosecute individuals or even I think can prosecute organizations as well. I don't know if it can prosecute governments. I'm not sure about that.
Right.
But for international,
the state of Israel. So
no, but they're investigating the situation in Israel.
Okay.
They didn't prosecute anyone yet. I think they mostly prosecute individuals, so they can prosecute like our chief of staff or whatever. I'm just.
Okay.
Anyone,
fair enough.
Generals, whatever. But they basically accuse people for, or they have the jurisdiction of dealing with international crimes of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they could also, they have, their jurisdiction is generally quite limited. They can only deal with situations that is not dealt. So they're like complementary to the internal justice system in every country.
Okay.
So they would investigate stuff that aren't investigated locally for different reasons.
Okay,
like,
so what?
Like
what
maybe
they...
maybe Russia wouldn't investigate. Do you know about Georgia? The war in Georgia, the 5 days war in Georgia.
Yeah,
where,
in 2006 was it?
Something like that, where
yeah.
Russia invaded Georgia.
Yeah.
Right.
So they wouldn't investigate it locally in Russia. So,
so
they would probably
the international
investigate
one
it.
Is doing it. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
So they've been investigating the situation in Palestine for a few years, and recently they. I think it was the 20th of December, they decided to so they've been they've been looking into the situation,
mm-hmm.
and now they decided to start a formal investigation,
right.
against it's not against anyone, basically it's to investigate the situation in Palestine between
to
Israel
basically to see if
Palestine.
Israel is has committed war crimes in
yes.
the
I
Palestinian
mean, they don't
territories.
Say that they investigate the situation, but in context
okay.
of war crimes, in so it's not just war crimes. It's wanting to annex the Jordan Valley, you
okay.
know that Netanyahu
yeah.
prime minister wanted to annex the Jordan Valley, and also for Israeli shooting Palestinians in the protests.
Palestinians.
So your question is
okay.
what?
Palestinians.
If this example is anti-Semitic.
So, yeah, so what do you think
not?
About that? Would you think that this investigation, would you think that this is an anti-Semite organization, or is this decision based on anti-Semitism?
Eden, you want to take that one?
Well, first of all, I must say that personally, I need to read more and have a wider context about the issue. I don't think that there is anyone that the reason they're investigating Israel is because it's anti-Semitic. As the person, as the committee, as the reason. No. I do think that there should be a lot of bigger you know, zoom out questions about how the UN is handling specifically Israel and the number of resolutions being submitted against Israel in total compared to other countries. And that should be a question.
But in this specific example, what I'm saying is a lot of people, government, the Israeli government and just people in the media and all over are accusing the ICC of being biased against Israel.
Yeah, but
now we established that a bias.
But don't forget that what exactly I just said now, they're accusing the committee or the international, you know, whatever, being biased because there is a general approach towards Israel in a lot of things. So if that's the only thing that happened, we all should say we are worth being investigated. If this kind of investigations, resolutions, I don't know, anything else that Israel kept on being investigated compared to other places in the world that is not, and you know there are horrible things happening around the world, then the question of being, wait, are they being like legit criticizing us, or are they just keep on looking at the same spot for one reason, anti-Semitic or not, or political or not, it doesn't matter. That's the approach it should be asked, because looking at one incident and saying, is this specifically anti-Semitic or not? I don't know. Looking at it in context, is it one out of 150 a month? Yes, we should start asking if there's something wrong here.
If we're saying that they're holding 12 investigations right now,
okay, so,
and Israel is one of them, then it's not anti-Semitism.
But that's one organization. There's so many other organizations in the UN that are dealing with us constantly. So when you zoom out, you're saying, wait a minute.
I think if we'll zoom out a little, it will be easier for us and for our viewers also, because
listeners.
We spoke about this. Viewers, I said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners. We spoke about this a long time ago, so I think it's worth bringing it up again. So a while ago, Natan Sharansky, who was the head of the Jewish agency,
right,
which is basically in charge of, you know, keeping all the Jewish people in the world connected and bringing Jews who want to immigrate to Israel to bring them to live here, and he gave a very, very good definition to when does criticism of Israel crosses into anti-Semitism. And I think that we can apply it also not just to individuals, but also to organizations,
right,
or countries or
right,
things like that. And it's called the 3 D's. So the first one is delegitimization. Delegitimization basically means that at the conclusion of your argument, the state of Israel is not legitimate and therefore shouldn't exist, for example.
Right, because so, you can't say to any other people that they don't exist and don't. Like, I saw this T-shirt on Amazon. Have you heard about that?
No.
There was a T-shirt sold on Amazon, not by Amazon, obviously, that said, "Make Israel Palestine again."
Mm.
Now, we had a whole discussion about that. Is it wrong or right to, like, what's, why is it so upsetting, this T-shirt? Now, if it said, in my hand, this is my own personal opinion on this one, if the T-shirt had said, "Free Palestine," I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care because, yes, I think there should be a Palestinian state. I don't think it should be instead of the Israeli state. I don't think...
Exactly.
Like, can you imagine me say, let's make America Native American again?
Yeah. No, or listen...
Or let's
make
XY again, meaning we're erasing the first part.
And then me and you have a ton of criticism on China, Russia, Egypt, Sudan, whatever. We never say, oh, Russia shouldn't exist. Oh, Sudan doesn't have a right to exist as a state. So this is the first part. The second D is demonization.
Right.
So basically...
By the way, just before we continue to the second D, other examples of delegitimization, which is the freaking hardest word to say for Israelis, say it.
Delegitimization.
Another great reason, if you by any chance heard the phrase, Palestine will be free from the river to the sea.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Okay, let's kind of break words from songs. So Palestine will be free from the river. We're talking about the Jordan River that is the border between Israel and Jordan.
Right.
To the sea, the Mediterranean, which is basically the whole property of the state of Israel as we know today.
That's why Israelis have such a hard time with that chant, where a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a, you know, nice friendly chant at a Palestinian rally or something like that.
We're talking about examples of how what delegitimization is. So that's one example. And delegitimization.
Oh my God, that's like now, the hardest word. Now, the second part, the demonization, basically, okay, I'll give you something that I heard, an accusation that I heard, and that really, like, that's a perfect example for me. Israelis like war.
Right.
You know, like that.
You see it a lot in characteristics like comics and stuff like that. Like
caricatures.
Yeah, when you see, like, Israelis, you know, killing babies or
like Israelis with like horns and vampire teeth drinking.
See, but this is not blood. Interesting to me. This is obvious. It's obvious that saying Israelis like war or Jews like war.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're really wrong about this, because for you it's obvious. For so many people out there, it's not obvious, and it seems like fair criticism. Yeah, maybe it's a bit extreme, but it's fair criticism.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you, Tom. I'm going to challenge you with this one.
Challenge me.
What happened if there is a comics cartoon portraying a Benjamin Netanyahu as a Benjamin Netanyahu, a specific person, as a vampire sucking the blood of a Palestinian babies.
That would be a cool movie.
Yeah, but is it demonizing
the prime minister of
the Jewish people, or is it only against a person?
This is actually a very complicated question, because yes, he is a specific person, but also he's the face of Israel, being the prime minister of Israel. Where does the border cross exactly? I can't tell you.
Right.
I'm not an expert, you know, and I'm not, I don't have a PhD in anti-Semitism. I would say there is an argument for both sides on this specific question that you asked. You know, one could say, well, listen, I'm criticizing that person. I think he's an absolute asshole and he's a murderer and whatever.
He's a vampire.
Yeah. And you could also say, listen, you are demonizing the prime minister of Israel. So, yeah. And what I wanted to bring up now is the double standard.
Right.
And for me, this is the easiest one to understand.
But it's also a complex one. I'm going to challenge you on this one.
It's the less obvious one.
Because it's the less obvious one?
Less obvious.
I think that delegitimization. Oh my God, I can't say.
Delegitimization.
Thank you. And when you edit it, poof, like a poop, like a.
Bleep it out.
Yeah. No, but delegitimization is. Everyone would obviously define it as anti-Semitism, but I would say that it's pretty clear that it's wrong.
Wait. I'm just reminding us and the listeners that we're talking about 3 D's to compare between anti-Semitism and criticism about Israel. It's not that.
See, that's what
you
I'm saying.
You can't digitalize. Oh my God.
No, but you could.
Jews, because that's absolutely anti-Semitism, saying, oh, Jews are not legit.
See, okay. But this is not.
But Israel is something
it's
else.
It's a criticism that happens, that people say that the state of Israel shouldn't exist because it's built on Palestine land, but it's not a justified criticism. Or else saying that Israel does a lot of wrongs, or the Jews in Israel do a lot of wrongs in Palestine, might be justified.
But that's not what we're talking about. Delegitimization, if your argument concludes at the point that the state of Israel has no right to exist, then that is anti-Semitism.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying as well. I'm saying that if you delegitimize the entire state of Israel, it's not a justified criticism. So that's on that line between criticism and anti-Semitism. That's more towards anti-Semitism, or it is anti-Semitism.
Right. Yes, but you have to understand that a lot of people don't understand this and they don't see it that way. And I spoke with a lot of people that told me, I used to think that the best solution for the conflict in the Middle East is that all the Jews will just go back to Poland. And I told them, well, first of all, it's idiotic, because the majority of Israeli Jews are not from Poland. The majority are Middle East and North Africa. But also, what a ridiculous argument is that? Like, you can just say, oh, well, all the Anglo-Saxons should just leave England.
Okay,
like,
but no. You might connect that to ignorance and not to anti-Semitism.
Well, if again, what you don't have to be evil to make an anti-Semitic argument. I do think that you have to be evil in order to spread an anti-Semitic argument when you know that it's a bad one. Going back to the double standard, though,
yeah.
For me, again, it's easy. It might be complicated for other people, but for me, it's very easy. Look at what Israel is doing. Are other countries also doing that? Look at the punishment or scrutiny or whatever Israel is receiving. Are other countries also receiving that?
The problem that I have with double standard, that Israelis don't always use this D correctly. Because if you say, well, Tom, hey, look what's going on in Syria, or look what's going on in Iraq. First, do we really want to be compared to those countries? Are we in the same level? Do we see ourselves as those countries we want to be compared to? So that's one. Second, it should be asked differently. It should be asked in a context of history, in a context of time, in a context of what are we doing in order to prevent things that are already happening and the complexity of it. So using double standard, just saying, you can't only look at us, look at all the other kids who are doing bad things. It's not only that. You know what I mean? Daniel, your face is precious about this.
No, it's exactly the point I wanted to talk about, that it's very easy to tag any sort of criticism as, because double standard makes it very easy to tag any sort of, that's why I say it's the less obvious one.
Right.
Because it's very easy to tag any sort of criticism as anti-Semitism because it's double standard.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, and even if it is double standard, it doesn't mean that it's not justified. It doesn't mean that's the fact that right now I want to drink beer and not drink juice doesn't make it double standard against Jews.
Well, I think maybe if I would take, like, if I was Natan Sharansky and I would, you know, kind of use this tool as a tool that I've developed, I would say, would you use double standard as the delegitimization? Oh my God, please take it out of it.
Delegitimization.
Oh my God. Anyway, meaning, okay, so I criticize Israel, but I also criticize Syria, or Iraq, or China, or whatever. But I don't say that China doesn't have the right to exist. Israel doesn't have the right to exist.
Right. Okay.
So you see where I'm going with in this one?
Yes. That's why double standard is the less obvious one.
It's less obvious one, and it's less being... It's not used correctly, I think, most of the time when people are using this tool.
Well, that's 100%. That's like the main point.
So I have another article open here in front of me that talks about, you know, BDS as an organization that criticizes Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it using the new anti-Semitic approach or not? Because is it demonizing? Well, yeah, right? It's demonizing. It uses a evil characteristic on Israelis. So, yes, it's demonizing. Is it using double standards? Absolutely. Because as an organization that it under its names, it says human rights organization, they don't deal with human rights in other places. They deal only in Palestine. And the third thing that is the most interesting now that I'm reading is BDS doing a
Do they delegitimize Israel?
Yes. And I'm not even saying the word anymore. And I use it that often. I think Fridays is just not a word I can use. Like on Friday. I can't. It's like a weekend.
Only a weekday word.
Yeah.
It's like I use it from Sunday till Thursday kind of a word.
Exactly.
The example that they give here...
I love how you said Sunday to Thursday, because in Israel, that's the work week for
right.
most people,
right.
whereas everywhere else, it's Monday to Friday.
Yeah, forgot about that. So example, they're talking about, okay, so a lot of people who are BDS supporters or anti-Israeli or grieving criticism about Israel and stuff like that would say, well, the only way to finish the occupation is, I'm so sorry, but this is the quote on the article, and I'm doing like this with my fingers. They call it, well, the only way to end the occupation is the final solution for the Jewish country.
Oh, wow.
For the Jewish, not by killing Jews, but saying there shouldn't be a Jewish state, meaning
yeah.
it should be an open state or the Palestinian state or everyone's state, but it shouldn't be a Jewish state. And
yeah.
that is something we should start questioning about and saying, wait a minute, why don't you want a Jewish state? Is it only because Palestinians? Because then we can say, wait a minute, so we can have a Jewish state alongside a Palestinian state, or we can have both, or we can work, or whatever. But saying there is only one solution, Intifada Revolution, that's a quote, not mine,
yeah.
From the river to the sea, okay, there's so many examples of how the only solution is to erase a people, a country, a state, and not see it as legitimate here.
Yeah, and listen, there's, I mean, me and Daniel have a really good friend of ours from high school, studying, doing his PhD now in Harvard in physics, brilliant guy. And he told me he doesn't think the state of Israel should exist. But the reason why he said it is that he doesn't believe in the idea of a nation state. He thinks all countries should just be like America, for example, that basically you can come from wherever you are, doesn't really matter, as long as you think like us, you're part of us. So if you think that Israel shouldn't exist as a Jewish state, but you also don't think that, let's say, Pakistan should exist as a Pakistani or Muslim state, all right, fair enough. You know, I can. You don't think France should exist as a French state. You think it should just be a state.
Right.
You know, fair enough. But if you have a problem with Israel's creation and you don't have a problem with Pakistan's creation, for me, that's double standard.
So making a connection between what we just talked about, the criticism about Israel and anti-Semitism, is that we can't avoid looking at the Jewish state as a collective Jewish state. Like, the word Jewish is there, and if people want it or not, it represents Jews, okay? It represents the Jewish people. So many people will be upset with what I just said, because a lot of Jews in the diaspora or around the world would say, well, me being Jewish doesn't mean I relate or connect to Israel in any way, which is absolutely legit, but they won't be surprised for people doing that connection for them, even if they don't agree with it. But that's another way of saying, like, I would say, like, phrases as against Israel as a Jewish state in our modern world would be a way of phrases against Jews. And this is something super critical that people need to understand. If you saying Israel's policy, government is something that I criticize, fine, we do it every day, all day, all the time. But if you criticize a Jewish state as being Jewish, or being, you know, as is a place or a home for a whole religion, that's something we should ask ourselves, is it okay or not?
I think
did I make sense?
I understand what you said. I think we should.
Daniel's place is saying, like, I don't get you.
No, I get you. I think that's why people tag any criticism as anti-Semitism, because you criticize Israel equal Jews, you criticize Jews.
Right. You
know, and I don't think it is.
But I don't think so. I think it depends on, again, what is your criticism, or what does your argument conclude in, you know? I think that's the main thing to look at. I have criticism of Bibi Netanyahu. You know, I didn't vote for him, I don't like him. You know, you have criticism about the Israeli army. You might have criticism about Israel's settlement policy.
But we're Jewish. If someone said exactly what I said and isn't Jewish, would he be considered anti-Semite?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because the Jewish element is not there. The Jewish element is not there. It's a policy. It's me saying, the United States doing this and this. I'm not going to, not ethnical, not religion, not, I don't care who the people are and where they're from.
So why,
I'm talking about their acts.
Why are comments such as free Palestine or
free Palestine
stop,
is not
or
a,
stop killing Palestinians or stuff like that? Why are they tagged as anti-Semitic?
They're not.
I don't think they are.
And whoever is doing that as anti-Semitic,
everyone does
approach.
It all the time.
So that's exactly our discussion.
Politicians
here.
And even the media does
time. But when politicians do it, I don't think the media does it. But let's say they do. I think specifically politicians, or let's say Israelis that do that, it's so much easier than actually dealing with the argument.
See, that's exactly my problem.
Exactly, and I agree with Daniel. I think that Israeli leaders or stakeholders or people who, you know, politicians using the term of anti-Semitism about every act being against Israel or discrimination in the ugliest form, doesn't matter, but using the flag of anti-Semitism is an ugly use of something that is wrong to use. Like, you can't use something that is not, and then we look dumb, you know, like using, oh, everyone hates us, everyone are anti-Semitic. Yeah. And
let's say for example, maybe it's probably going to be the last example, but you know Roger Waters, yes, right, from Pink Floyd. He doesn't like Israel.
Right.
He's also, I think he's also active in the BDS.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
But he doesn't
active
like
as it gets.
He doesn't like Israel because he doesn't agree with Israeli policy.
Right.
Or not. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he doesn't like Israel because I think the Jews want to take over the world. But from what I hear about what he says, he's criticizing Israeli policy.
Right.
But he's broadly considered as, and in Israel, not in the world, in Israel. Among, yeah. Everyone say, oh, Roger Waters is an anti-Semite.
But I'll tell you what. I saw something. I didn't consider him to be anti-Semitic. And I remember seeing in one of his shows where he lowered from the top of the stage, like a statue of a pig.
It's a balloon of a pig.
It's a balloon of a pig with the Star of David,
right?
And the dollar sign and something else was there. I think
I don't know about the dollar sign. I saw the pig and the Star of David. No, that's confusing. Yeah. That's confusing because first of all, without context of him giving criticism about Israel, this would be anti-Semitic, right? A pig, a Star of David, stuff like that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Adding to this, the Star of David is also the sign of the state of Israel, right? Like, so if you're right and they had dollar signs on it, yes, absolutely anti-Semitic.
But isn't a pig isn't it the money thing? The where
like
you keep
if,
money?
If pig represents money?
Yeah, no, isn't it like the pig where you keep your
money?
Yeah,
I know
like
what you're talking
small
about.
Small deposit boxes of pigs.
Right, I know what you're talking about. But so let's say if I would take the face of Donald Trump and put it on a pig, would you say, ah, it's because Donald Trump is trying to save money? No, you would say, ah, it's because Donald Trump is a pig.
And even though if you do the association between money and Jews, then it has a sense of anti-Semitic content in it.
So would you say
unless
that,
we do it, and that's a joke.
So would you say that calling the state of Israel pigs and criticizing, if you say that if you don't like Israeli policy and you criticize Israeli policy publicly, and then you go and say or show or whatever that the state of Israel are pigs, for example, the state, not the people in there, would you say that's not anti-Semitism, right?
Wait, but what do you mean? What is the state? The state are the people. Are you talking about the government? Or are you talking about
no? The state is not the people. There are countries and there are people.
But
countries have policies. They have armies, they do this and that. Okay. People wake up in the morning and drink coffee and I don't know, work and
run
and talk. And
I think that to say that all the state of Israel are pigs.
No, not all.
And listen, this
I know what Daniel's saying.
You're saying is state of Israel are pigs. Is a pig, whatever. You know what I mean?
Listen.
Is a pig state.
I'll tell you
pig
what
country.
Yes,
I'll tell you what.
It's very delicate. Pig, first of all, is not it's an animal that associated for the Jewish people as I don't know, not kosher, not something good. It's like,
but
it's,
generally,
it's
even though pigs are great,
but
they're
delicious.
Smart.
They are a great animal. I think they're cute.
They're very smart.
They're
I agree,
cute.
but
we do a lot of heart transplants,
you know,
from pigs. By the way, just so you know,
What?
When you do a heart transplant, or let's say a lot of medical students when they do like a, you know, when they study about anatomy of the body and things like that, a lot of them do it on pigs because they have very similar system to ours. Yeah.
You can eat them later.
Guys.
Incoming vegan rage.
Yes, we're going to have a lot of comments from vegans on this part.
Listen, but this is my problem also, because we were talking about BDS before. And listen, if you really want to boycott all of Israel, all right, boycott all of Israel. I think it's stupid because I think there are so many different and diverse opinions and people inside that to say, oh, Netanyahu, I hate him, therefore I'm not going to buy Israeli dates. Well, what if the guy raising dates is Arab and he has no, what if he's super leftist, super pro peace, what, like, you know, it's so stupid to me. And then to say, oh, the state of Israel are pigs. Yeah, I'm not, for me that's pretty interesting.
I want to comment about the pig issue, and maybe we're going to close on this one, because there's always cultural connections. You can't avoid them. You can say, what? Pig is just an animal and it's pink and it's fat and it's cute and I have nothing to associate it. But as a people, as a culture, we associate things. We have connotations in our mind that links to
things. Yeah, it's insulting to Jewish people.
I think it's insulting generally. It's also insulting to Muslims. Also in Europe, many nations have...
If you bring into a kosher store, and happened a few times, a pig's head and you put it in the floor as an act of criticism, is it...
But that's an act of criticism.
No, it? Because it's
an act of criticism is to criticize.
That's a kosher store.
Okay,
it has nothing to do with Israel.
What Roger Waters did with the pig and the balloon and the sign
that's
of Israel.
That's why I say it's anti-Semitic.
What is that?
That's the question. That's the question. Whether his criticism is because he's anti-Semitic, because maybe he's inside, you know, some people hate gays and they walk around hating gays, but no one knows about it. Maybe he walks around hating Jews and his manifestation for it is criticizing Israel.
He's walking on a very, very thin line. I think if you'd ask him, he would say, I have no problem with Jews. I have a lot of friends who are Jewish.
Yeah,
you know, like things like
my
that.
Neighbor's Jewish.
I have a lot of friends who are Jewish.
My neighbor is Jewish.
You're
Jewish.
Leaving
coins on the floor.
You don't look Jewish.
My banker is Jewish. He lent me money.
You know, my sister has a Jewish friend.
Yeah. No, he is walking on a thin line, and I think he's doing it on purpose because I think if he'll be obviously anti-Semitic, he will lose a lot of credibility.
A lot of fans.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you're saying he's using like the situation here to bash Israel because he's anti-Semite and not because he really believes that.
No, could also be could also be that he is genuinely displeased with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
He's just using anti-Semitic tools without knowing it.
Or knowing it because he didn't take the Israeli flag and put it on a pig. He took the Star of David.
That's true.
That's my thing. Now,
see, this is definitely maybe his darkest side of the moon.
Oh, look at you, Danny boy. No, but also, I just wanted to conclude my part. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks came to Israel.
Guy.
I love him. He came to Israel and he gave a lecture. He was the head rabbi of the UK or the rabbi of London. I forgot. He came to Israel. Gave a fascinating lecture, and he said at some point in the lecture about why non-Jews should care about anti-Semitism, and he said that when something bad happens to a group of people or just an individual as well, they can ask themselves two questions: either why did this happen to me, or who did this to me. If they ask why did this happen to me, maybe someone actually did do something to you, but you're on the path of finding a solution. And if you're asking who did this to me, you're looking for a scapegoat, and then you can't progress. And that's why anti-Semitism should concern everybody, not just Jews.
I think that
and then last words.
Yes,
mic drop.
I think that it's reflection for all of us. Like this discussion should be a reflection to all, us as a modern society. When we're entering an era of the politics of identities and where we find ourselves in it, and PC and equal right, like all those things that we believe in, and we forget the essence, and we forget history, and we forget things that are bigger than us, we lose ourselves. And I think it's interesting to look, and hopefully next episodes we're not going to talk only about us, but other things that are we concerned about in the world, not only Jews and Israelis and stuff like that. But I think this episode is kind of to shed light about the discussion that if there's no right or wrong, there's a lot of things just to be aware of, or maybe not right or wrong, but more like it's not that clear what is what, and we should be worried and care enough to see that anti-Semitism kills. It does. Like, people die, okay? And we're not in a good stage in this world. And I think that maybe this podcast would allow people to hear the voices of Israelis talking about, you know, even we ask questions about Israel and we ask questions about anti-Semitism. We're not that we're defending or, you know, hiding behind a huge shield of definitions. It's about asking questions and understanding the sources of people's action. That was a long few words, but it was super interesting.
It was good.
Super interesting.
Famous last words.
And yeah, let's rock on in the next episode.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I guys, take a time. If you guys like this episode, not you guys, our listeners,
yes.
write us. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to put some
If you
links.
Want us to talk about something specific,
we're going to add some links about the sources that we used.
Yala. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you on our next, or hear you.
Or read you.
Or read you.
Read you.
In the future. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.